Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 24. In this chapter, we have two further signs of the coming judgment of destruction and death in Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. The sign of the boiling pot and the sign of the death of Ezekiel's wife. Let's begin by reading the first 14 verses. Ezekiel chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Again in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, write down the name of the day, this very day. The king of Babylon started his siege against Jerusalem this very day, and utter a parable to the rebellious house, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Put on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather pieces of meat in it, every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with choice cuts. Take the choice of the flock. Also pile fuel bones under it. Make it boil well, and let the cuts simmer in it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it, and whose scum is not gone from it. Bring it out piece by piece, on which no lot has fallen. For her blood is in her midst. She set it on top of a rock. She did not pour it on the ground to cover it with dust, that it may raise up fury and take vengeance. I have set her blood on top of a rock, that it may not be covered. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city! I too will make the pyre great. Heap on the wood, kindle the fire, cook the meat well, mix in the spices, and let the cuts be burned up. Then set the pot empty on the coals, that it may become hot and its bronze may burn, that its filthiness may be melted on it, that its scum may be consumed. She has grown weary with lies, and her great scum is not gone from her. Let her scum be in the fire. In your filthiness is lewdness, because I have cleansed you, and you were not cleansed. You will not be cleansed of your filthiness anymore, till I have caused my fury to rest upon you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent according to your ways and according to your deeds. They will judge you, says the Lord God. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 24, with some background notes. Ezekiel chapter 24 is a pivotal chapter in the book of Ezekiel. It is not only the halfway point of this prophetic book of 48 chapters, but it marks the point that Ezekiel's warning messages had predicted, namely the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonian forces. We see in verses 1 and 2 that this date was on the 10th day of the 10th month of the 9th year of Ezekiel's captivity in Babylon. This would be in January of 588 BC, and it corresponds to 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 and 2, where we learn that the siege lasted for a year and a half before the city fell to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass, in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. So chapters 1 through 24 of Ezekiel contain messages and sermons and parables and signs that Ezekiel gave before the fall of Jerusalem. Remember, Ezekiel was in Babylon giving this ministry to the Jews already in captivity, but his messages and ministry would certainly be reported in Jerusalem where the prophet Jeremiah was ministering. Here in chapter 24, two last signs are given concerning God's judgment on Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah, and we see that they were given on the very day that the Babylonians began their siege of Jerusalem. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 24. So doctrinal point number one, the boiling away of Ezekiel's pot was a sign of coming death and destruction. The boiling away of Ezekiel's pot was a sign of coming death and destruction. Once again, there is a good possibility that Ezekiel gave this sign dramatically as he acted out the parable that he spoke to the people. Notice, by the way, that the parable was given in Hebrew poetry. Most of your translations show this feature. In this parable of the boiling pot, Ezekiel was to take a bronze pot and fill it with water and choice meat pieces, and then put it on an open fire and boil it. The pot was to boil away until not only the water was gone, but the meat and bones were gone as well. In fact, even after everything was burned away, the pot itself, with its corrosion, was to be melted and burned away. Verse 11, once again, "Then set the pot empty on the coals, that it may become hot and its bronze may burn, that its filthiness may be melted in it, that its scum may be consumed." The meaning of the parable was quite obvious. Jerusalem was the pot, and the contents were the sinful people, and the corrosion and scum was the wickedness of the city. Everything had to be destroyed. The pieces being taken out of the pot at random probably represented the people being taken away into captivity. Because of Jerusalem's shameless and open shedding of blood involving child sacrifice and other murders, God would publicly spill Jerusalem's blood on a bare rock in judgment. Verses 7 and 8. The inhabitants of Judah thought that they were safe in the protective pot of Jerusalem, but they were doomed. In the same way, we think we are safe in the protective pot of our own nation, but we are not safe from the judgment of God against sin. The parable of Ezekiel's pot certainly has a message for America today. The boiling away of Ezekiel's pot was a sign of coming death and destruction. Doctrinal point number 2. The taking away of Ezekiel's wife was a sign of coming death and destruction. The taking away of Ezekiel's wife was a sign of coming death and destruction. Verses 15 through 23. Ezekiel chapter 24, beginning now at verse 15. "Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips or mustache, and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things signify to us, that you behave so? Then I answered them, The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and daughters, whom you left behind, shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips or mustache, nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turbans shall be on your heads, and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another." In order to emphasize how sad a day it was for God's people, now that the beginning of the end had come for Jerusalem and the beautiful temple, God allowed Ezekiel's wife to die that very night. Verse 18. As Ezekiel's wife, the desire of his eyes, was taken away in death, so death would come to Jerusalem. The beautiful temple of Solomon, the desire of the people's eyes, would be destroyed. Not only was Ezekiel's wife taken away in death, but Ezekiel was commanded not to mourn her death outwardly. He was only to mourn inwardly. The customary signs of mourning, such as covering your lips or mustache and going barefoot, were not to be observed. This part of the sign indicated that when death and destruction came to Jerusalem, it would be so horrible and catastrophic and complete that there would be no customary mourning. The taking away of Ezekiel's wife was a sign of coming death and destruction. And that brings us then to our practical application for Ezekiel chapter 24. Do we really believe in the sovereignty of God? Do we really believe in the sovereignty of God? Verses 24 through 27. "Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you. According to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord God. And you, son of man, Will it not be in the day when I take from them their stronghold, their joy and their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that on which they set their minds, their sons and their daughters? On that day, one who escapes will come to you to let you hear it with your ears. On that day, your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. You shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. We see in these verses that Ezekiel would not be free to speak in normal conversation until the refugees arrived from Jerusalem with the news that the city had fallen. We'll see that take place in chapter 33. Remember back in chapter 3, we read that God closed Ezekiel's mouth so that he only spoke when God gave him a message for the people. At other times, he was silent. Now, suppose the Lord called any one of us to go through these same hardships as Christian service, including the death of your husband or wife as a sign to God's backslidden people. Would we be willing to go through with it if we knew it was God's will? Do we really believe in the sovereignty of God? Now, you might say at this point that Ezekiel was told that these events in his life were the will of God, but God doesn't tell us. Oh, but he does. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says that God works all things after the counsel of his will. And Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do we really believe God is in control and knows what he's doing? Do we really believe in the sovereignty of God? Practical application number 2. How much heat does it take to get our attention? How much heat does it take to get our attention? You know, as we read through the book of Ezekiel, we are amazed at how hard-hearted the people of Judah were. They willfully turned away from the Lord and his goodness to idolatry and immorality. God turned up the heat by allowing various foreign nations to attack Israel and Judah, but the people's attention was short-lived. God turned up the heat further by sending prophet after prophet to warn his people of coming judgment. Did the people pay attention? No, they did not. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 16 that the people mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 16. Now here in Ezekiel's day, God has turned up the heat to the point where two invasions of Judah have already taken place, but the people still will not pay attention. Their response is apathy and unbelief. Therefore, the heat will be turned up to the point where they will be removed, as we've seen in the sign of the boiling pot. Now, what about us? How much heat does it take to get our attention? When God brings discipline into our lives, do we pay attention? Or does he have to turn up the heat further? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32 says, "If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord." How much heat does it take to get our attention?